Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
We're going to pray and then we're going to get into what God has for us today. Here we go. Father God, we want to thank you because you're an awesome, powerful God. You're a God who provides. You're a God who sustains. You're a God who cares. You're a God who is close. You're a God who is always doing miracles. You're a God who fights for us. You're a God who is in control. You're a God that just seems to have us when everything goes sideways. You're a God who keeps his promises. You're a God who makes a way when it's impossible for us, when we can't see a way. You're a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. You're a God who calls us his children. And today we just want to come into this place and lift your name high. And if we're watching at home, we want to lift your name high where we are as well. We want to ask that you speak to us, that you minister to us, that you do something in our spirits that draws us closer to you, pull us closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Who brought their Bibles to church? Who brought their Bibles to church? Great, five people, fantastic. The rest of you, we got you covered. It's all right, it's going to be up on the boards. We're going to go straight into it. Second Chronicles. Yeah, we're going old school, Old Testament. Second Chronicles chapter 20 is where we're going. And I've entitled this message, Stick to the Plan. Someone say, stick to the plan. Can't say it with a bit of attitude. Stick to the plan. You'll see the plan in a minute. We're gonna look at this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it's about a king named Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. I wish I had a name, Jacob Jehoshaphat. Isn't that a name? That's a great name, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat Shats. That would work, wouldn't it? That would work. All right, here we go. Verse 1. I'm actually going to just do a couple of verses right at the start of this chapter, then we're going to jump to the middle of the chapter and finish off for sake of time, because I thought about doing a three-week series just on this chapter and then I kind of pulled it back. And we're just going to look at the front and the end this chapter. I encourage you to go home and read it for yourselves too, because there's a lot in this chapter. It's a great chapter. In fact, there's a lot in the Bible, but this chapter particularly and King Jehoshaphat, there's a lot there. Are you ready? Yeah. Great. Here we go. After this, we've got to stop. Yes, two words and I'm stopping already. After what? That's exactly right. See, to understand this chapter, you need to know what's happened just before this. And you need to understand that. You're right. After what? After what? You see, in chapter 19, if you go back and read it, you'll see that Jehoshaphat worshipped God. He was a good king. This was in the time when kings were not necessarily good. But he was the king of Judah. And he was a good king. He worshipped and feared the Lord. Jehoshaphat appointed judges in chapter 19 to rule over the nation. And these judges were told by Jehoshaphat, make sure you judge fairly because God is judging you. And so he kind of said to him, you know, do the right thing. He appointed Levites to tell the people to serve God faithfully. He worked at getting rid of all the false idols in the land and getting rid of all the false idols and getting the people to turn back to God. Jehoshaphat transformed the nation of Judah at this point in time. And he turned it from its wicked ways under his leadership to worshipping and fearing God. In a time when kings had the attitude, well, I'm king and I can do whatever I want and I have the power, and they would do everything to keep that power, Jehoshaphat understood that God had given him a purpose. Jehoshaphat understood he was serving God and under his leadership. Jehoshaphat was a great king. A great king. And after reforming society, after living godly life, after working hard to transform the nation and doing all of that from God, after this, the Moabites and the Amorites and some of the Midianites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was doing exactly what God told him to do. He was living a godly life. He was rocking up to church on Sundays. He was tithing. He was reading his Bible. He was doing everything he is supposed to do, witnessing for God, transforming a nation. And his enemies come to wage war against him. Do you know, we could do everything right, and the devil's coming after us anyway. Yeah? In fact, and you've heard me say this particular piece of scripture in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober-minded. This is Paul writing to Peter. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And you've heard me say it before. If a lion devours the meat, it wants to get it, chew it, break it apart, let it ingest in the side, and then poo it out on the side of the road. And that's what the devil wants to do to you. According to Paul, he puts it a little bit nicer. Well, he puts it a little bit nicer in Ephesians than he does to Peter. He says in Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And whether you agree or not agree, or, you know, whatever it is, we are at war. And it's a war for your soul. It's a war for our neighbors' souls, our workmates' souls, our friends' souls, our family's souls. And the enemy wants to come and take you out. And Jehoshaphat, as I said, did everything right. But he was a threat to his enemies. He was a threat. If you don't have the devil occasionally giving you a bit of harassment, then I would ask the question, are you a threat to his plans? Tough question, hey? Like, are you a threat to his plans? Because he's got plans for you, plans to devour. Are you a threat? You see, Jehoshaphat was a threat to the enemy's plans. And so they came up against him. But just when Jehoshaphat thought it couldn't get any worse, verse 2, some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. They're already at Hazazon, something like that, Tamar. In other words, they're coming from the other side. So you've got one group of armies coming from one side, one group of armies coming from the other side. He is surrounded now. His nation is surrounded. His rule is surrounded. And according to verse 3, Jehoshaphat was alarmed. Now, that Hebrew word for alarm there is, it doesn't do it justice in English. Let me give you a closer translation of what it could be. And your Bibles might have it written this way. It could be fearful, anxious, or yours is fearful, fear, anxious, afraid, scared, terrified, or oh boy, we're toast. We're done for, we're goners. That would be the Marx translation of that. Alarmed. It looked insane. And I don't know about you, but I can identify with the enemy coming around me and attacking me and getting, you know, like feeling the darkness come around. Yeah? Feeling the enemy coming and just start to enclose. Getting to that point of being a little fearful. Who's anybody in that category? Come on. Yeah. If you're doing the whole Christian thing right and you're a threat to the enemy, then we know this feeling. And Jehoshaphat, he does something amazing. He goes to pray. Instead of trying to figure out how to do it on his own, instead of trying to work out, if I get this army and this army, he realized they were no match for the enemy. And so he did the one thing he knew what to do. He prayed. And verses 3 to verses 13, you can see his prayer. And you can see what he does. And he gets the nation to pray. And he gets everybody on board to pray. When we're going through a dark time, there's a great lesson here. We should pray. And get other people to pray for us. Hold us up. Have our back. He prays. And I wish I could spend a week just going through the prayer, because the prayer is good. Maybe I'll come back to it next week. Who knows? We'll see. But he prays. He seeks God. And the answer comes through Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of whatever. It comes to that guy. Right? Verse 15, this is what it says. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat." See, the answer didn't come directly to the king. It came through one of the prophets, one of the other people. Interesting there. "Hey, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judea and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army." You know, that's sometimes easier said than done. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes easier said than done. Hey, I know you've got no money in your bank account and you've got all those bills, but don't stress. Don't be afraid about it. People are saying this and this and this about you, and don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Easier said than done. And I bet he was still alarmed, fearful, afraid of this army. And I bet somewhere in there he would have gone, "God, do you have a plan? Because we can't do this." Remember, he goes straight to God. He recognizes the fact that they couldn't do anything about it. So he goes, I reckon, you know, if that was me, I'd say, "God, what's your plan then? You're telling me not to be afraid. What's your plan? You know, what have you got?" And you know, "Don't be afraid because of the vast army." And then it says this, "For the battle is not yours, but God's." I love it. I love it. You know, when I was reading this and studying this, God kind of said to me something that was quite profound. He said, "Do you fight battles that you're not meant to fight?" And I kind of had to sit with this for a bit. Don't get me wrong, hear me right. There are certain things that God tells us to stand up for. There are certain things that God tells us to fight for and to take a stance for. But how often do we speak up when we should be shutting up? How often do we make a comment and try and correct someone's Christian practice, or try and correct something here and fight some kind of battle that's actually not ours to fight? It's God's. When did we get to the place of thinking we could fight on the same level God is fighting at? Because God had to say that to me, and I've got to be honest, it was confronting. "Hey, Mark, did you really need to say that to that person? Did you really need to highlight that to them?" It's kind of confronting, isn't it? And part of me went, "Well, how do I know the difference, God?" You know, sometimes I go, "Well, hey, bloke," you know, I kind of talk to God like that sometimes. "Well, how am I supposed to know the difference?" He goes, "Well, if the fight makes you tired, it's not your fight." And I went, "That's actually a really simple kind of way of looking at it. If you're fighting something and you're tired of fighting it, it's not your fight." And I can tell you that I've fought fights and I've become very tired. Don't get me wrong, you can get wounded in the fight and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just simply saying, sometimes we just need to shut up and let God do what he does. And I think a lot of us are stuck in battles sometimes, trying to fight these things when we're not actually supposed to fight. God's just sitting there going, "I'm going to let this keep going until you get out of the way and let me do what I need to do." Yeah? Not your fight. God's fight. But then he drops the plan to Jehoshaphat. So Jehoshaphat needs a bit of assurance because he goes, "It's not your fight, it's my fight. It's God's fight, you know, not your battle, my battle." And then he drops the plan. Turn to someone and say, "Stick to the plan." Oh, you sounded like a school classroom then. That was shockingly shocking. Stick to the, like, "Good morning, Miss." Say, "Stick to the plan." That's it. This is what it is. Verse 16. "Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you'll find them at the edge of the gorge in the desert of Jeruz." I love this. The first thing we need to remember of the plan, or the first thing part of the plan, is that we need to show up. "Tomorrow, march down against them." Show up. Turn up. It's not your battle, it's God's battle, but he still wants you to turn up. He still wants you to be there and show up. And most of us are stuck in battles longer than we need to because we haven't shown up. Whether they've shown up mentally, spiritually, physically, whatever, we just haven't shown up. And we're stuck in battles, and God's saying, just show up. I need you to step out and believe that I'm going to fight the battle for you. Just show up. Show up. Take your place. And he kind of gives this really cool thing after he says, go down to the mountain. Can I have the verse come back up again? Right? No, one before that. Thank you. Tomorrow, march down again. Simple, in other words, show up. And then God says this. They will be climbing up by the pass of this, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert. It's a very specific place. But note the word tomorrow. God already knows what the enemy is already going to do. Does that make sense? God already knows the end from the beginning. He already knows what the future holds. And this is simple stuff. Simple, simple stuff. But the truth is, we can rest in the truth. And the truth is that God knows the plans he has for you. He also knows the enemy's plans for you. And I can tell you, he wants the plans to make you prosper and what is good for you. Does it make sense? So if he knows what the enemy is going to do, then we could show up knowing that God was already working on it. Because he already knows the plans. He already knows how to fight. It was like he was in their briefing room and they, you know, the enemies went, oh, look, we're going to do this and trap him in here. And God was there, heard the whole entire lot, and then comes back and goes, I've got this. You don't need to worry about it. I already know what they're going to do and I already know how to defeat them. We just need to show up. And he gives this reassurance. I know what's going to happen. I know exactly what's gonna the enemy is going to do. I know the exact location of where they're going to be. You don't need to be afraid because I already know. Then he moves to the second part of the plan. Be in the right position. So, be in the right position. You will not have to fight this battle. Verse 17. Take up your position. See it up there? Take up your position. Many of us don't see victories in our lives. Many of us don't see the battle won in our lives because we're in the wrong position. And although this particular text is talking about being in a physical position, it's also talking about being in the right spiritual position, if that makes sense. Right? Check this out. Verse 6. So going back to where Jehoshaphat prays, right? So we're bouncing back a little bit now. He prays this. Check this out. So remember, he's alarmed, he's afraid, he's scared, he thinks he's toast. And then he prays this prayer. Verse 6. Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Verse 7, our God did not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham and Abraham your friend. You see, I love the way this guy prays. He actually exalts God and puts God here and puts himself here. Does that make sense? Lifting God up. He said, God, you are so mighty, you're so powerful, you've done all this. Who can be anywhere near you? He is putting God in his right place and putting himself further down. Most of us pray like this. God, I need your help. I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. I go to church and I give tithings and I helped an old lady cross the road and I took a dog and a cat out of the tree. God, I deserve this. Help me. Oh, by the way, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, most of us pray like that. We pray going to God with a shopping list, expecting God just to do it. Like a carjack in a car. We never think about it. We never acknowledge it's even there until we have an issue like a flat tire. And we go, we take the jack out, we get it to do its work, and then we put the jack back, not thinking about it again. Jehoshaphat doesn't do that. He positions himself lower than God and exalts God. He pushes God up. Pushes God up. He acknowledges the position. So although he had a position physically, he had this spiritual position as well. A spiritual position as well. And the truth is, and this is kind of amazing, like when you start to think this through, when you actually position God in the right place and put him in his proper place, then what seemed like a battle before that becomes less significant now. Does that make sense? Because you're seeing it from a different angle. Because God plus you equals the majority, not the minority. Show up. Position yourself right. The third thing is stand firm. Stand firm. Keep going. There it is. Stand firm. We need to stand firm in who we are. It would have been quite easy for Jehoshaphat just to go, oh man, we're not as big as that army and we don't have as many resources as that army. Are we good enough to come along against them? And the enemy will do that with us as well. He'll come along and he'll start to whisper things in your ear. You know, if you witness to that person, if you talk to them about Jesus, then they're going to not be your friend anymore. And the devil just comes along and starts whispering little things in your ear. You'll get fired at your job if you talk about God, you know. You can't do that. You're not smart enough. You can't do that. You're not educated enough. You're too young or you're too old. The devil will just come along and just start to whisper things in your ear and get you to a place where he just makes you feel broken and lost and a loser and a sinner and whatever. You could add whatever you like a nobody. The enemy will come along and just keep whispering in your ears until he convinces you you're a nobody. He keeps you on the sideline. And the enemy will come and do this unless we stand firm in who God is. Calls us to be and who he tells us we are. Does that make sense? It's quite easy to see what's going on and hear what's going on from other people. But we can stand firm. You see, when the devil comes along and he says these things to us and he starts whispering these things like you're not educated enough, you're not smart enough, you're not clever enough, you're just a sinner, you're whatever, you could turn around and go, well, my God tells me I'm a treasured possession. My God tells me I'm the apple of his eye. My God tells me that I'm loved and I'm prized. My God tells me that I'm important because he sent his son to die on a cross for me to take my place in death. My God tells me that if I've got breath in my lungs, then I'm not dead and I'm not done and he's still going to work through me. My God will tell me that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. My God tells me that I am important and I'm valued. Come on, this is what God says about you. He says that you have a rock and a firm foundation to stand on, that God has already won the battle and that he will fight the battle, and you can tell the devil to get lost because he's just about to get kicked from one way to the other. Yeah, yeah. So if he comes after you and he starts saying these things, you want to maybe remind him that he has to go through Jesus first before he gets to you, yeah? Come on, I'm preaching better than you're responding. It's true. When the devil comes along, tell him to get lost. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give us. I love this. I love it. I love this story. This story is so good. You should go back and really read it because I'm just giving you a couple of the highlights all the way through. Right? When we face the enemy, tell him, you've got God on your side. I don't care how big your army is. I don't care what you throw against me. The psalmist wrote it like this in Psalm 93. When he's looking at the oceans, he says, the seas have lifted up. The seas have lifted up their waves. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. In other words, he's looking at the world just relentlessly smacking in. The darkness coming in, the pressure coming in, the attack coming in. And then all of a sudden he says, mightier than the thunders of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. He remembers who his God is. He goes, actually, do what you want because my God is bigger, mightier, more powerful. And you could tell the devil, get lost. Maybe give it a practice now. Tell him, get lost. We'll get the keys to come up because I want to highlight one more thing for you. Because we need to stick to the plan of showing up. We need to stick to the plan of standing firm. We need to stick to the plan of positioning right. This is what Jehoshaphat did in this story. This is how it ends in verse 20. The next day, remember, he's got the plan now. He's got the plan. He's been given the plan. Stand up or show up. Position right. Stand firm. He's got that plan. He was given it the day before. Early, this is verse 20. Early in the morning, he left for the desert of Tika. As he set out, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, listen to me, Salvation Army in Bunbury, in Busselton, in the southwest, and all over the world. Listen to me, Judea and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. I don't know about you, but I want to be successful in everything I do. Yeah? Good. And then it says this in verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out and went out ahead of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. You know, God hadn't defeated the army yet. God hadn't taken away the battle yet. God hadn't actually wiped the other guys off. You can read the rest of the story. It happens in a little bit later. God hadn't actually, the enemy's still there. Jehoshaphat could have still been a little fearful. But he's saying, have hope, have faith in God. And then what does he do? He says, people, start singing. And I reckon singing here is the key to all of this. I reckon singing is what does it for, like it does something in our spirit, in our hearts, right? It stirs something up. Like we get the plan. God, we've got the plan. It still feels scary, but we've got the plan. The enemy's still there, but I hear your plan. I'll show up. I'll position myself right. I will, you know, now stand firm in what you call me to do. And then what do you do? What do you do? Because the enemy's still coming at you. And he appoints people to sing. I was going to sing for you, but nobody wants to hear that. I'll appoint people to sing. but there's something that stirs in your spirit. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. God will never let us down. God has got this. He is for us. He is not against us. We are believing that God is going to do his thing. And in the meantime, we're going to sing about how great and powerful and mighty our God is. We're going to shout that God is good. And when it all goes sideways, we're going to lift our voices on the battlefield. We're going to stand there and start praising Jesus, knowing that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is a waymaker and a promise keeper and a light in the darkness, and he can do all of this stuff. And we're going to stick to the plan. And we're going to praise Jesus, saying he's got this. Amen. They're going to do this, and our souls will sing. Our souls will sing. I want to encourage you today. If you're going through a battle, if you're going through something in your life, that you can just sing your way out of it. You can sing and just let your soul sing. And every breath is just going to sing out. And in the middle of the storm, and in the middle of the chaos, and in the middle of the trials, and in the middle of the enemy coming against you, you can just take your place and show up. And you can just stand there and say, God, I'm going to sing my way through this battle. Amen? Stand to your feet for a second. Come on. Stand to your feet. Oh, Lord, my God. When I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul. Do you know what? Some of the most powerful songs are written out of trials. Some of the most powerful songs are written out of that time where we just need to sing to God. And it stirs in our hearts. It stirs in our spirits. It does something. So we're going to sing. Let's sing, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder Let's sing. Sing with everything you've got.